Friday edition of Studio 12, presented by Alpha Graphics. Welcome to the south end zone of Kyle Field. Matt Simon, Will Johnson with you here for the next for the first half of the show. Pleased to be joined by our wide receivers coach, Aaron Moorhead. Does Will give you an appearance fee for this? Does he cut you a deal?
I think I need to work something into my contract, maybe just a few extra, maybe a dinner or something like that.
I think we
don't
can do that.
Make me start doing budget items. You'd have to dig into the budget, see what's happening.
It's not that big of a deal.
Can I go with you?
Yeah.
Or is this for you and the wife?
We'll just
double date, Will.
Budget. We'll be good.
Well, this is starting to look better. All right. The 12th Man Productions on their dime, no doubt.
We should just hold the radio show there. Then we can
now we're talking.
At the Republic.
And then you get a little meal out of it.
Man, I've been charged long ago by Matt with finding eatery location for this show, and I've never done it. But, man, you just hit a home run with the Republic.
Try to help where I can.
They would see us two walk in and go, yeah, I don't know about this, guys. You guys have to stay. Go ahead and do it in the parking lot.
Yeah, because they do it out on the front porch or the back porch or somewhere. Just don't come in here. But good to have you, Aaron. It's an off week, but we always say that lightly. I mean, you guys are practicing. Alabama's next. A lot of coaches hitting the road recruiting, and, I don't think anything ever really stops, but five games in, it looks good, 5-0, a number nine ranking. Does it feel as good to you as it looks maybe to guys like us, the public that watches you play?
Well, I think you're never going to complain about being 5-0 and into bye week. That's a lot of people would love to be in our position right now, but it's by no means the end of this deal. We have a lot of football left. We got to play a lot of good football teams. And, last year when you look at kind of the scope of where college football was, Ohio State was ranked in the back half of the top 25 at this point. Mississippi State was dang near number one coming into this section of the year. Ole Miss was up there real high, number one. And, a lot of things happen between now and the end of the season. So we got to keep pushing forward. There's no doubt about it. And, I think these guys realize that we're just kind of hitting the beginning part of the tip of the iceberg. And if we want to get to the top where we want to be, this is just kind of a great time for us to get healthy, get some guys back out there that are dinged up a bit, or get some guys healthy that have been playing through some injuries. And we got to hit this backstretch of this schedule, with reckless abandon.
Yeah, and on that note, you mentioned injuries, and I want to talk about the job that you did, the offensive staff did, and your crew did on Saturday. You had Jeremy out, you had Speedy was out as well, and then, of course, Ricky gets taken out of the game in about the late part of the first half. Just talk about the job that your crew did to kind of stick with it. You still threw for over 300 yards and about, I think, eight guys called passes, seven or eight guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it goes back to the kids and how they're practicing, and the guys that are working with that second team, we don't take those reps for granted. We make sure that everybody's doing the exact same thing. And we talk about it all the time. You never know when your time's going to come. You never know when a guy's going to have to go out for a little piece of the game, whether it's a series, whether it's a play, or whether it's a half. You just don't know. And, we went in there, and Jamal Jeffrey and Sabian Holmes and Boone Niederhofer went in and had to play meaningful snaps. And, they all did a nice job and went in there. We didn't have any penalties. We didn't have any alignment errors. We just went out there, and those guys did a nice job, and we moved them around to different places. And obviously, in the passing game, as you guys saw, we leaned on Josh and we leaned on Christian to make plays for us down the stretch, and those guys did a nice job. And obviously, the offensive line and Kyle and Trey and everybody just really stepped their game up, knowing that, Ricky was out and we needed guys to step up and make plays.
I think about your last two games, because Mississippi State worked out the way it did, down three guys. Arkansas, you guys never got on the field.
Right.
You're trying to win a game with as minimal snaps as possible. A&M is a team that, my goodness, in regulation, 46 snaps. That doesn't do it for A&M. That's not what the Aggies want. But, think back two games ago to Arkansas. Does frustration ever creep in when you're saying, man, I just want to get back out on the field and try to get some more points on the board?
Well, you always want to be on the field. There's no doubt about it. That's obviously, like I said, our offense is built around having a bunch of snaps. But, again, it's about what you're doing when you get the ball in your hands and what you're doing to take advantage of your snaps. And, I don't really get too up or too down. I like to have fun during the game. I enjoy when guys make plays. But, you know, I kind of take it back to when I was playing in the NFL. There was games where you only had 60 snaps, and there was games where you played about 75, 80 snaps. And that's just what it was. And, you know, you have to just take advantage of the snaps you have. And I think kind of having a guy like Peyton Manning that I was able to play with for that long, he always kept an even keel. Mm-hmm. And didn't matter how many series we got, it was, we're going to score on these series. This is what we need to do. And I think for me personally, that helped me because you understand it's not about how many series, it's just that particular series and what you're going to do and how we're going to put points on the board. And obviously in the Arkansas game, you know, Christian was on fire, and they had, you know, and just that it was how can we find a way to get the ball in his hands where he can make plays. And obviously Josh, you know, made some big plays towards the end of that game. And it was one of those games where you had to take advantage of every play.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned your time in the NFL. Aggies know the story by now. You and your father, both Super Bowl rings, the only father-son tandem to both play in a Super Bowl and win it in NFL history. But you think about guys in your room, I mean, there's potential there for the next level with plenty of them. Being someone who experienced the next level, what is your biggest advice to those guys who have NFL hopes? So one of the first things that you would tell them about the next level?
Well, the thing that I talk to the guys about, you know, not generally in the room, but if I'm talking to a guy individually that I talk to him about, you know, is their practice habits and how much different practice is up there than it is in college. And even when you practice hard in college, it's still different up there because at the end of the day, if you're a rookie, you're taking somebody's job. Mm-hmm. And I said, that guy might have a wife. He might have kids. I said, he's fighting for something completely different than you are. You're just young. You're trying to get out there and do what you're going to do. I said, this guy has to go home to his wife. He has to go home to his kids and look them in the eye and say, I just got beat out by a 22-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it is what it is, but you're not going to take a guy's job from him. He's not just going to hand it to you. You're going to have to go out there and earn it every day. And that's where I think practicing hard and having those practice habits really comes into play, because if you go out there and you're kind of doing a half job or you're kind of going through the motions, I said, there's guys up there that you never heard of that's from Eastern Kentucky that you never heard of that's a big-time football player. Yeah. And there's guys from all over the country at these little schools that, yeah, you're at A&M and this is this big school, but there's NFL football players on rosters all over the country. And, you know, you got to go out there every day and prove why playing in the SEC is to your advantage.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Moorhead with us, wide receivers coach on the Friday edition of Studio 12. And I wanted to ask you about the, you know, the team concept, the team feel. We're seeing a lot of that. We're hearing that from a lot of the guys. We're seeing guys embracing roles, accepting roles, doing whatever they can to help the group. You know, specifically for your wide receivers, how proud are you of the way that those guys have accepted their roles and doing whatever they can do to help this team get to 5-0?
Well, that's what we preach. You know, we preach it really since the beginning when I've got here to now. It's just whatever we need to do to win games, that's what we're going to do, whether it's you playing 3 snaps a game or you playing 73 snaps a game. And that's – there's no – I don't care who plays. I tell the guys that all the time. I'm going to put the guys in who at the end of the day, we're going to turn that film on Sunday morning. We're going to be able to look at it, and those are the kids that are making plays, that are doing their job, that we trust. And, you know, there's certain guys that I'm sure aren't happy exactly with what their role is, but they have done a good job when they've gone in there. And if a guy goes down, all it does is help me trust that they're going to go in there and do a great job if we need them to play extended snaps. Or, you know, you look at a guy like Christian, who you weren't exactly sure how many snaps he was going to be able to play. And you just said, man, you know, are we going to overkill it? We're playing 65 snaps a game and 75 snaps a game and those types of deals. And he's gone, and with his conditioning and things he's done in the weight room, taking care of his body, you know, he's been able to handle that load so far. And it's been a great deal, because for now we don't have to take him out as much as, you know, we maybe thought we originally would have had to do, because just being a young guy and those types of things. So it's been good.
And one of the things I've always heard from Coach Sumlin when it comes to skill position players, whether it's quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and I'm sure you've gotten this sense from him, he's big on what a skill guy does actually without the football in his hand, carrying out fakes for quarterbacks and running backs, blocking with your guys, always something huge to Kevin Sumlin.
Well, you know, we've emphasized that from the beginning. And obviously anybody who's paid attention to A&M football this year realizes that probably the whole linchpin to that deal is Ricky. And yeah. I just said, look, man, you know, you're 240 pounds, 235 pounds. You got to block like it. You're blocking like you're a 200-pound guy. And I said that's just not going to be good enough. I said, you should dominate on the perimeter every single snap. And I challenged him with that from the beginning. And he's embraced that. And, you know, if he's kind of messing around a little bit in practice and not doing exactly what I think he can do, he knows that he's going to hear it from me. So he's done a great job. I mean, he's been a force out there on the perimeter, and he's done a good job catching the ball and making plays down the field. And, you know, we missed him a couple of times in the red zone early on the season, finally got one this week. But, you know, he's a guy in the red zone that we got to count on just because of how big and strong he is. Mm-hmm. But, again, it's kind of goes back to me as a player throughout college, throughout my professional career. I was a walk-on guy that made it, and then I was an undrafted free agent that made it. And you don't do that because you don't work hard. You don't do that because you're not paying attention to the details. And I think that's part of the reason that makes me a pretty good coach is because I pay attention to everything. And yeah. I don't let stuff slide that shouldn't. And I think that at the end of the day, it makes those kids better players because you're holding them accountable for every single thing they do. And that's you know, it's good for them in the long run, not only in football, but once they leave. You can't go into the general workforce and just not pay attention to details. They'll fire you, you know. And I think that the earlier they get that, the better off they are. And it's the guys have done a great job of embracing it so far.
Visiting with our wide receivers coach, Aaron Moorhead, the Aggies on a bye week right now. They have Alabama coming in on next Saturday, 2:30 CBS coming to town for that game. And Coach, you talked right before the break. You talked about Ricky. You talked about his effort without the football. Just quickly, you know, some comments or thoughts on, you know, the unfortunate situation that got him, you know, removed from the game on Saturday.
Well, you know, the kid's making a football play, you know, and obviously, you know, there was some helmet-to-helmet contact, and it got him kicked out. But, you know, we just have to teach it a little better and just, you know, kind of show him why it was helmet-to-helmet. And but at the end of the day, you know, I know that there's been a little stigma with him that he hasn't been the toughest guy kind of transitioning from quarterback to receiver. And I really think he won over a lot of the fans with that play. And, you know, by no means do we want a guy to get kicked out. By no means are we teaching or coaching a guy to hit with his helmet. But we got to have these kids playing tough. We got to have them playing with great effort. And I think we can tweak it a little bit. But you know, again, at the end of the day, we're going to play with toughness. We're going to play with an intensity, and you know, I think Ricky is embodying that, and you know, we just got to just tweak it a little bit. Nah. And but I was proud of the kid and proud of the effort he's playing with right now.
You talk about toughness and intensity, and you guys are coach. Someone brought in Brian Dawkins, NFL Pro Bowler, big time player there to be around the team. He did it in fall camp, but he also did it this last week for 3 days. Brian talked to the team before the game. If fans have not seen that, the Pulse, which is on our website right now and on our YouTube channel, has a segment on it. It's fantastic. Just talk about what that was like to bring in a guy. You know, we've talked with your history, with you've got a Super Bowl ring,
right.
So you know what you're talking about. The kids seem to perk up when guys roll in that have the credentials like he does.
Well, I tell you what, a guy that played 16 years in the NFL that, you know, was obviously one of the best of our generation at the strong safety position, tough, intense. You know, there wasn't a time in the NFL where if you were playing wide receiver, you didn't know where Brian Dawkins was on the field when he was on the other side of the field. And, you know, to have that guy around our kids was amazing. And me and him talked a bunch, obviously, when he was here and played with and played, you know, with a lot of the same people over the course of the years. And it was kind of fun catching up with him about some different guys and things like that. But, you know, to have him around our players, you can't ask for anything more. You know, he's the way he played the game, the way he approached the game, to have our defensive backs be able to have him around for a few days and really pick his brain. It wasn't like he just showed up on Saturday and came to the game.
Yeah.
He was here for 3 or 4 days during the week, and he was at every meeting and he was at every practice. And I tell you what, it goes a long way. And for a guy like Brandon Williams, who's just learning the defensive back position, you know, for young safeties like Armani and Justin, I mean, you can't value what he did. I mean, there's no price tag. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the thing that's funny is he came on his own dime. It's not like we, you know, he loved being here and wanted to come back. And, you know, it was awesome. And he's got a family at home and he's got kids at home, and he took 4 days out of his life to come hang out at A&M. I mean, shoot, man, that's awesome.
Yeah. Did you ever play against him?
Yeah, we did. Played in Philly, and I didn't play offense that game. He was in Philly. It was early on in my career, I think my second year, and I was just playing on special teams. But you know, obviously, he was one of their best defensive players at that time when their defense was as good as anybody in the league. You know, mm-hmm. they had a bunch of players. They had Troy Vinson, who was here, you know, this summer and is planning on coming back again. Another guy, you know, mm-hmm. And to have these guys come talk to our team and to have them around. And it's not just football. You know, they talk about developing yourself as a man, you know, and obviously, if you know anything about Brian and Troy, they're very faith-based guys and developing yourself in that way too. You know, for the guys on our team that are very faith-based, it was big. And he met with guys individually. And I tell you what, this just – it's something as a coach, there's things that you say sometimes that the kids hear – but you ask, are they really listening to you? And when he says it, they're all listening.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
I think about some of the guys you've got in your room with the wide receivers unit. And to say Christian Kirk has burst onto the scene doesn't quite cut it. He's done more than that. But we see him on game day, how dynamic, how fast he is, just the athlete that Christian Kirk is and can be. What about when you get him behind closed doors in that film room with your group? What kind of guy are we talking about for those that don't get to see him?
He's really a quiet, confident kid. You know, he doesn't say too much. He's definitely a confident guy. He knows his abilities. He knows what he brings to the table. But I think a part of that is he works really hard, and he works at his craft. He watches a lot of film. You know, a good example is the other day I always bring the guys in to watch a little bit of the opponent that's coming up, and we'll go through the tape, you know, during our Monday meetings. And Christian had something he had to do with school, and he said, "Coach, I can't come." I said, "Fine, just make sure we're going to watch the first half of, you know, this game." And he said, "All right," he watched the whole game. Like, he was ahead of everybody already, but that's just the kid's
work. That's a pleasant surprise when you hear that, isn't it?
He did, you know, and then he came in the next day, and he had already watched another game. So, I mean, it's just he works at it, and it's not by chance that the kid's having great success. From the day he walked on campus until now, he's done nothing but try to prove to everybody why he deserves to be playing. And, you know, he's a guy that, again, in the second half of this season – we're going to lean on, and we're going to ask him to make plays, and you know, but the stage isn't too big for him, and that's fun. You know, his first game playing against his home team, you know, in Houston at that dome. I mean, that's as big as a stage for that kid as you could have, and you saw what he did. He didn't blink. He just went out there, made mm-hmm. plays, and I think that sets a stage for everything of what he's done so far this year.
Mm-hmm. And another guy I wanted to ask you about is Josh Reynolds. I think his story is so great because this was a full academic qualifier that actually went the JUCO route to start off with, and I think he did it just because he wanted to play college football in this state so bad. He grew up in San Antonio and wasn't highly recruited. But, man, is he proving people wrong. And is he almost the same, a quiet guy off the field, Josh Reynolds?
Yeah, Josh is quiet. You know, Josh is a little different. You know, I think that he kind of is going to go out and let his play speak for himself. And, obviously, last year he's a big-time player, had a mm-hmm. ton of catches, yards, and touchdowns. And I think he's out to prove this year that it wasn't just a one-year deal, that he is the real deal. And if you've watched Josh throughout our season, he's made big play after big play after big play, and it's not just on one or two routes. He's doing a lot of different things well. And, you know, not having him this spring really was kind of tough for me because I was trying to learn the guys and see what they did well, see what they didn't do well, see how we could tweak some things here and there. And not having him didn't really allow me to see the full potential of our unit. And I think Josh has done nothing since he's come back but just prove why he's one of the best receivers in the SEC, and not just that but probably in this country. And mm-hmm. and just he's a guy that has a little chip on his shoulder because of what happened coming out of high school, you
yeah.
know, and he just didn't get recruited, and he had a couple offers to some different places but just didn't really want to go that far from home or didn't want to play at that level of football. And you know, he decided to go over there in Tyler, go to junior college, and it worked out, you know. And I tell you what, it's a great story, and he's got a great family. And you know, I think that, you know, he's put himself in a position to play NFL football if he can keep doing the things that he's doing. And I'm really proud of him because he comes to work every day with his hard hat on and just goes to work.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Moorhead, Aggie wide receivers coach, with us on this edition of Studio 12. One of the things that in talking to you we found fascinating, we asked you to come on this show for 30 minutes. Yeah, because you guys got a busy schedule. There's recruiting, there's practice, there's getting ready. But we didn't know that you used to do an hour of radio for 3 years up in Indianapolis while you were a Colt. And, I mean, Matt and I got a little nervous when we heard that because, you know, you could critique us, and we know we're not very good at this.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wouldn't take long to critique.
We don't need a guy that has radio experience coming on here and tell us. But you do. For 3 years in Indianapolis while in professional football, you did an hour of radio.
Yeah, we did it. We did it the whole season, 17 weeks. It was awesome. You know, we did it. It was fun. And I really like being on the radio. I like talking. I think that, you know, you can get some different things across to the general public and the fans that they might not know. And I think it's a cool kind of insight to not only the players but the coaches and obviously the organization that you're in. And, you know, it's neat. And obviously you guys have heard me sit here and babble for the last 20 minutes. I don't have a problem talking.
Hey. And fits in well with us.
We babble. It's just usually irrelevant. Your stuff relevant, so people want to hear it.
And, you know, but I think that, you know, over the course of my career as a football player when I was in college and pros and to now, I've generally done a good job of having good friendships and understanding what people are about and what they like. So I was always able to get people to come on the show, whether they were a wide receiver or just different positions, and guys, you know, wanted to do it. And I didn't ask too much of them, but it was good. You know, some guys, they'll look at you crazy when you ask them to do a favor. But, you know, I think that it was just me developing relationships, and I think that's helped me in the long run because now recruiting, you know, it's all about developing relationships with the high school coaches and with the kids and the parents. And I think that, you know, at the end of the day, it's funny. You look back at why that happened or how that happened, and you just never know what things in the past are going to help you in the future. And just so happens that, you know, that was one of the things that's really helped me.
Still locked in on the Colts, or have we turned to maybe keep an eye on the Broncos with Peyton up there? Because it's got to be tough as a Colts. You play for the Colts. Following the Broncos might be a little tough.
No, I'm not really a Broncos fan. You know, I obviously would pay attention to Peyton and still do. And one of my good friends, Brandon Stokely, was playing for the Broncos for a bit. So I would pay attention to him. And obviously, you know, you always want him to win. But I'm always going to be an Indy fan. I'm a huge Bears fan, and it's always been one of my favorite teams. Obviously, being a Chicago guy, you're going to be a Bears fan. So it's a pretty neat deal, you know, being able to have a couple teams to watch. But you know, it's as you continue to grow as a coach and you get players playing in the NFL from kids you've coached, you know, kind of your fanship. It's hard because you want all your guys to do well. And you want the kids that you've coached, that you've seen work really hard to have success. And, you know, the hardest one for me is I just had a kid drafted by the Packers, which is like, and he, you know, one of the kids that I coached.
That's contradictory.
And one of the kids that I'm probably closest to that I've coached in the past. And he's in the Packers. And I said, oh, gosh, this is going to be bad.
You know? But, can't see you wearing those colors.
No, I'll never wear the colors. But, you know, I got to root for him to do well.
Yeah.
You know, got to.
But we won't see you in a Cheesehead.
Never. Ever and ever and ever.
No, that's not even on Halloween. That's not going to happen.
Not even close.
Real quick before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about, you know, you guys, people I think see you just as a coach, as a football coach, but you got a family, brought the family here to College Station. How have they enjoyed it? How's the wife enjoyed being here?
It's been great. You know, she really likes it. You know, she comes to practice all the time. And you know, during the season, obviously, it's hard to really get to see your kids a bunch. And so she'll bring the kids to practice, and we'll get to see each other a couple times a week during the day. But you know, they love College Station. It's a great family town. There's a lot of things to do for them, and the wives have embraced her and our kids, and they get together all the time during the day when we're working. And, you know, that's made it a lot easier. And to say the least, you know, if she wasn't happy, I wouldn't be happy. No. So I think that, you know, having her here and be happy and love this town and really having the town embrace us has been awesome. And I didn't really – it's funny. You hear about Texas football, and it's not just high school football. It's not little kids football, college football. Texas football as a whole is so huge, and I don't think you can understand it till you're here. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she really got used to – having to go out to a restaurant and have people recognize us, and it just hadn't been like that other places we've been for the most part. Mm-hmm. And for me, it wasn't a huge deal because when I was in Indy, anywhere you went, people knew who you were. But she's kind of getting a little bit of a feel for that and realizing these Aggie fans are awesome, and they just they're so passionate about what we do. And but we really enjoy it, and College Station's just been awesome.
Yeah, well, Coach, it's loosely termed off week. You guys stay busy through it, but Alabama's next. All the best in that one, and we certainly appreciate your time here today.
All right, thanks, Will.